A healthcare executive stares at millions of dollars in market research that tells her nothing about why customers are leaving. A Senate candidate with impeccable policies watches voters emotionally connect with his less qualified opponent. A solar entrepreneur with superior technology loses to inferior competitors. What's happening? We've become so obsessed with algorithms and big data that we've lost our ability to understand human behavior. The solution isn't more data, it's sense-making, a return to humanity's thinking as an essential practice for understanding the cultural contexts that shape decision-making. Consider Ford CEO Mark Fields, processing information from 190,000 employees while making decisions affecting $150 billion annually. Ford's engineering innovations meant nothing in Chinese cities without lane markings, or in New Delhi, where having a driver signifies status. When executives expand globally, they say, "I've lost my intuition." They can no longer rely on instinct about customers whose worlds differ fundamentally from their own. What's needed is the antithesis of algorithmic thinking, grounded in concrete reality rather than abstract numbers. Sense-making provides depth where algorithms offer only breadth. Rooted in Aristotle's concept of phronesis, practical wisdom, it represents an artful synthesis of knowledge and experience. Five principles challenge prevailing algorithmic thinking. First, culture over individuals. Nobel Prize winner Alice Munro observed that our seemingly private tendencies arrive as spores on the prevailing wind. Second, thick data over thin data. While thin data tracks actions through Fitbits or browser cookies, thick data seeks to understand how we relate to the many worlds we inhabit, sensing moods in offices, feeling collective emotions, recognizing when organizations aren't ready for change. Third, the savanna over the zoo. We must study humanity in natural complexity rather than artificial isolation. Fourth, creativity over manufacturing. Only abductive reasoning generates truly new ideas through non-linear problem solving, messy and uncomfortable, but necessary for unexpected breakthroughs. Fifth, the North Star over GPS. Rather than trying to know everything through big data, we work to make sense of something meaningful, determining where we are and where we're headed. Mark Zuckerberg's declaration that Facebook would understand the world through billions of pieces of content reflects an ideology built on flawed assumptions. The obsession with disruption treats knowledge as temporary, celebrating inexperience because it enables risk-taking unburdened by wisdom. Big data prioritizes correlation over causation, offering information without explanation. Google flu trends initially predicted outbreaks successfully, then missed the H1N1 pandemic and overestimated subsequent ones by mistaking seasonal searches for actual flu indicators. Silicon Valley pursues frictionless technology, systems operating without human thought. Google's Eric Schmidt revealed this when stating people don't want Google to answer their questions. They want Google to tell them what they should be doing next. This algorithmic curation creates filter bubbles, reinforcing existing views rather than challenging them, fostering a post-truth era where feeling affirmed matters more than seeking truth. Despite Silicon Valley's data-driven confidence, organizations often drown in information without insight. Ford's Lincoln brand had collapsed to 5.5% of the luxury market, with customers averaging 65 years old. Ethnographic research across the U.S., China, India, and Russia revealed luxury cars sat unused 95% of the time. More critically, luxury meant radically different things. Private self-expression for a Moscow man blasting hip-hop, bonding experiences for a Bombay woman on nighttime drives, a mobile office for a Mumbai jeweler. These insights showed Ford that luxury experiences, not engineering specs, should drive design. Cultural context shapes even our most fundamental abilities. When poet Nicole Palantir suffered traumatic brain injury, destroying her working memory, she lost all poetry and lyrics. 3 years later, while making tamales, a Christmas tradition, the sensory experience triggered something profound. She spontaneously began writing poetry again. This recovery through cultural context contradicts computational theories suggesting brains work like computers, where memories could simply be uploaded back. In September 1992, George Soros, Stanley Druckenmiller, and Robert Johnson gathered to analyze not spreadsheets, but psychological dynamics between European central bankers. They interpreted conflict between Germany's Bundesbank head, Helmut Schlesinger, and British finance minister Norman Lamont. Germans, historically traumatized by post-World War I hyperinflation, prioritized controlling inflation through high interest rates, conflicting with Britain's needs. After witnessing Schlesinger's wounded pride and hearing him privately admit he only wanted the Deutschmark as Europe's currency, the traitors recognized the inevitable. Germany would choose its anti-inflation policy over saving the British pound. They bet $15 billion shorting the pound. When Black Wednesday arrived, Soros personally gained $650 million, while his fund made over $1 billion. This extraordinary insight stemmed from Soros's humanities background and philosophical training, which taught him to constantly challenge his own assumptions. While traditional firms rely exclusively on objective knowledge through mathematical models, the Soros team's success came from artfully synthesizing objective, subjective, shared, and sensory knowledge without privileging any single perspective. Phenomenology calls us to return to the real world, observing lions hunting on the savanna rather than eating from bowls in cages. Our modern zoos, offices with glass windows high above cities, conference rooms filled with numerical representations, keep us from experiencing life's complexity. In 2015, Scandinavia's largest life insurance fund was losing 10% of customers annually, particularly valuable older clients around age 55. Through sense-making research, they discovered two competing realities. Internally, customers were PSNs, personal security numbers, while marketing portrayed aging uniformly with gray-haired people enjoying freedom activities. When they reframed the problem as, what is the experience of aging? They found that around age 55, many people experienced profound loss of control, actively reorganizing finances based on how long they expected to live, precisely when the company was ignoring them while focusing 95% of resources on acquiring 22-year-olds who found annuities irrelevant. By redirecting resources to engage older clients, the company reduced attrition by 80% within 2 years without increasing service costs. A global healthcare equipment provider studied elderly care across 33 institutions in 4 countries. Financial pressures were pushing the industry toward efficiency-focused models, where caregivers viewed residents primarily through bodily needs, bathing, toileting, moving, with standardized care. At a California facility, 87-year-old Randall becomes agitated during the daily 3 p.m. shift change. His dementia triggers confusion as the commotion reminds him of his past as a schoolteacher. His caregiver, Barbara, expertly manages his distress by clearing other residents, addressing him as Mr. Johnson, and using personalized strategies based on his life history. This personalized approach proves more efficient than standardized care, creating a calmer environment that reduces incidents and costs. The humanities aren't luxuries, but practical tools for understanding meaning and context. They develop sense-making muscles that provide competitive advantage. We must demote technology from master to assistant, recognizing that while it can scale solutions, it cannot interpret culture or care about outcomes. From Soros's embodied market knowledge to Barbara's gentle touch with Randall, human mastery deserves our wonder. While algorithms process data, only people can truly care, and that makes all the difference.